Hello and welcome to our preview call for the 2011 NANP conference, Building Bridges, Integrating Nutrition in Today's Healthcare Practices. It's going to be held April the 30th to May the 1st in the San Francisco area, actually at the Hyatt Regency in Burlingame, and it's really going to be great. Before we get going, I'd just like to check if our guests are here. Liz, are you on the line?
I am, Trudy.
Hi, Liz. Welcome. And really look forward to this interview and hearing you at the conference. Coco, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Thanks for being on the line, both of you. So first I'm going to do some general announcements and share a little bit about the NANP and the conference, and then I'll give each of our guests a formal introduction, and then we'll get started on the interview questions. So I'm Trudy Scott, and I'm president of the NANP, and I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about the NANP for those of you who are new to our organization. We are a nonprofit business league of nutrition professionals, and we were originally founded in 1985 as the Society of Certified Nutritionists. We represent holistically trained nutrition professionals, and our mission is to enhance the integrity of the holistic nutrition professional through self-governance, educational standards, and a rigorous code of ethics. We also administer a national certification designation, and that's available through our holistic nutrition credentialing exam. And I encourage you to go to www.nanp.org to view our great member benefits and learn more about the credentialing exam. And here you will also find information about our annual conference, which is Building Bridges, Integrating Nutrition in Today's Healthcare Practices. On Saturday, we have some excellent keynotes by Dr. Dickon Weatherby. He's going to be talking about functional diagnosis of the GI system and the liver with an emphasis on blood chemistry analysis. And make sure you listen to the great interview I recently had with Dr. Weatherby. His presentation is going to be very educational and enlightening. We'll also have keynotes by Dr. Billiker. He's going to be talking about epigenetics. JJ Virgin, she's going to be talking about nutrigenomics to create your ideal practice. And Alexa Martin Neely is going to be talking about legal assurance and financial and tax systems. And now on Sunday, we're going to have breakout sessions as we did last year. And this year, we've got a total of 9 breakout speakers, 3 in the clinical nutrition track, 3 in legal, insurance, and financial, and 3 speakers in business and marketing. And all of the sessions will be recorded, so you get to hear all our wonderful speakers, even if you can't attend all the presentations in person. And Liz and Coco will be presenting on Sunday in the legal, insurance, and financial track. So Liz's topic is Elements of a Successful Practice, Ethics, Legal Issues, Building Alliances, and Business. And Coco Newton will be talking on a license to practice nutrition, legislation, and regulation facing today's nutritional professional. So these are really great topics that we all need and we can all benefit from. So I'd like to formally introduce our speakers today, and then we'll have them answer some questions for us. Liz Lipsky is board certified in clinical nutrition and holistic nutrition. She is director of doctoral studies at Hawthorne University and a special advisor to the NANP board, and we're very pleased about that. She is also on the faculty at Saybrook University, the Institute of Functional Medicine, and the Autism Research Institute. Liz is author of Digestive Wellness, and we all know how wonderful that is, and also Digestive Wellness for Children. She runs mentoring groups for professionals in clinical and functional nutrition and is in private practice in Asheville, North Carolina. And our other guest, Coco Newton, is a registered dietitian and certified clinical nutritionist. She practices integrative and functional nutrition medicine through her private practice in Plymouth, Michigan. She served on the Michigan Board of Dietetics and Nutrition since 2007, and she has advocated for fair regulatory laws that embrace diverse backgrounds in nutrition and has challenged her own state dietetic association for their goal of achieving exclusive recognition for RDs. So this is really great, and it's super to have both Liz and Coco here. So let's start with you, Liz. If you could maybe, if you want to give any more introduction about yourself and why you're passionate about this area, that would be great too. But maybe if you could also share with us some of the elements of a successful practice as a nutrition professional.
Sure. For this conference, I've been given the task of really talking about business and scope of practice and who we really are. And one of the things that I love about our field is that we have so many opportunities. There's such a great need for the work. In our own practices, to work in other healthcare settings. Personally, I've worked in small medical practices all the way up to 35 physician offices as their nutritionist. And it's been wonderful. I've worked in health clubs. I've helped formulate products. People can go into sales and work with supplement companies or labs. People can write for either books or write for journals, write newspaper columns, write magazine columns. People can go off and do groups and speaking engagements and public education and health promotion. So I love the field because it allows us to really feel like we're making a difference in the world. But also, in addition to that, it gives us a lot of flexibility in our lives to do what we love and what we're good at. And I think that that's one of the most important parts of having a successful practice, is to really find a niche and do what gives you passion. And life is long, and that might shift over time, but it's really important. Also, to remember that we're not in it all alone. And one of the things that is important is to build successful relationships with other clinicians, and so that we get referrals. So many nutrition professionals are getting referrals from two or three physicians, and that pretty much can fill a practice. And having these relationships is very important. The other thing I think is really, other things that are important is knowing what our scope of practice is and staying inside of that. And knowing what we know and knowing what we don't know, so that we can refer out to other people who are really good at other things that aren't in our scope of practice. And business and marketing and are all part of it too. So it's not just what we know and our education that's important. We could be the smartest, greatest clinician, but if we don't have good business sense and good marketing sense, then nobody will know we exist. So in a nutshell, there's a few elements of a successful practice.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, and I love that you talk about the passion and finding a niche and finding something that fires you up and gets you going, because then it's easy. You know, then you can really make a difference, and you're passionate about it, and it just makes going to work and doing what you do so much easier.
It's so exciting.
Yeah.
This last weekend, I spent the weekend with a bunch of nutrition students and people who've just graduated, and the variety of things people are doing, from teaching cooking classes at YMCAs to children and families, to working in women's shelters, teaching women about nutrition and good health, to setting up a practice, to teaching. It's so exciting, and watching how each person finds their place in the field is really fun.
Yes, yeah, and it's needed. It's needed everywhere. So whatever the passion is and wherever you are drawn to, you can contribute, which is wonderful. So if you mentioned marketing. So if you're new to marketing yourself, can you maybe give us a few simple steps that you would take to maybe promote yourself and market yourself?
I can. There are so many different levels of marketing, but the first important things are to be confident in yourself, to realize that you're really good at what you do, and to take a leap into the marketing world. And some very basic things include having a simple website with maybe information about who you are and maybe even an article or two to make yourself business cards. And then to give local presentations or get the word out locally by giving talks at local health food stores, going to Rotary Club or Chamber of Commerce and giving talks, to writing a column for a local free paper. There's so many different things. Also, I think joining a networking group where, like a business networking group where you meet once a week with other people who are also growing their businesses, and maybe there's 15 people in that group, and you all start helping each other market. All these things can be really great. And then doing things like going into doctors' offices and bringing them lunch and telling them, what can I do to help you with your patients and extend what you can do? I got a call from a physician today, and we were talking about it, and, you know, pretty much they don't know what we know about educating people, motivating people, holding people's hands while they're making these dietary changes. They don't know as much about all the different types of foods, the different types of diets, the different types of therapeutic diets. And so I think that it, you know, if we can go in there just like a drug rep, we can tell them about ourselves. And hopefully one or two of those docs will start referring. And as they see the successes, then that really helps. And then beyond that, there's so much more that you can do with social networking, podcasts, teleseminars, just like the one we're doing, and so much more. But chew off just a little taste and then another little taste, because marketing is a big job.
Yeah, it's a whole new world, isn't it?
It is. So just start small. Even just one little website is, and some business cards will get you far.
Yeah, and I loved your idea of the presentations. That's been very, very beneficial for me because, you know, you get known out there, and then you get promoted in other people's newsletters and other people's websites, and then people find you like that, and then other people invite you. It just becomes a snowball effect. So getting out and speaking, and it also helps you hone your message, which then you can, you know, make sure you're telling people the right thing and you're feeling confident. So it's all really great. Really super.
Thanks.
So why don't we have, let's ask Coco a question, and then if we've got some time, we'll come back to the last question that we had for you, Liz. So Coco, I'm very excited about your topic as well. Why don't you, maybe can you give us a little bit of information on some of the states that have professional regulation, and then maybe what the difference between registration, certification, and licensure is?
Oh, certainly. So in the U.S. right now, approximately 47, 48 states have some sort of professional regulation. 33, 34 have something like that, licensure, about 12 certification, and I think one is registration. And the reason I'm giving you these numbers is that in some states laws have passed, but they haven't yet been enacted, so they're sort of half there, and that's just in a few of the states. But licensure is the most advanced form of regulation. So when a licensure law is in place, the scope of practice is protected for those who are licensed and would be considered encroached upon by others who either are unlicensed practitioners or are licensed practitioners who don't have nutrition in their scope of practice. So the states are really going for licensure. You know, this movement has been going on for over 30 years, and so many states who achieved certification prior are now pushing to become licensed because certification and registration doesn't have the legal teeth that licensure does.
Okay. And then how, you know, as a nutrition professional, how do I know my legal rights for practicing?
Okay, so, and that's one of the things I'm going to be covering, you know, at the presentation is, first thing is look into your state and find out if your what kind of professional regulation exists in your state. Find out if you have a licensure law, a registration or a certification law, or no law. Find out if you can, well, go look for the copy of the law. So I think every professional, every nutrition professional, ideally really should know where their copy of their state law is. And I'll have to tell you, most don't, not even dietitians. They really have probably never even seen their laws. So I think it behooves us to be really aware, because the explosion of interest in nutrition is such a welcome movement. And as Liz was saying, you know, the whole multidisciplinary excitement of nutrition being now popular among many health professionals. Back in the old days, it was the kiss of death to have to go see a dietitian. You know, you were embarrassed. You hid your head. But today, it's almost fashionable to say you have a nutritionist. And thankfully, many professionals other than just dietitians and nutritionists care about nutrition, pharmacists, dentists, and all sorts of nurses and all sorts of different chiropractors. So many people are, so many professionals are caring about nutrition and working it into their services for their patients. So because of this, you have new certifications coming up, like your certification for the NAMT, you know, the Certified Clinical Nutritionist, the Certified Nutrition Specialist, the Diplomat in the American Clinical Board of Nutrition, the Certified Nutritionist, there's health coaches, and there's just a plethora of new programs, and especially focusing on holistic medicine. So, you know, as Liz was saying, you know what's in your scope of practice and what is not, because one of the issues that we're facing is that, like it or not, the registered dietitians got here first. And the registered dietitians have been going state by state for over 30 years to make sure that either they alone or someone who as closely as possible matches what they would call their equivalent course of study or internship or exam can be licensed. And it's only in a few states that there can be other nutritionists that are licensed, but even that is with very strict guidelines. So with all these new certifications coming, it's going to be very important to know what the laws are in your state. And the naming of the title, you know, in some states it's licensure of the dietitian. Some states it's licensure of the dietitian and nutritionist. And that's a whole other area for discussion that I'll be going into. What is the difference between a dietitian nutritionist, and that's the million-dollar question.
Excellent.
When I lived in Hawaii, I came against this because we didn't have licensure in Hawaii, and three times, three of us, two CNS, Certified Nutrition Specialists, and me, a CCN, went up against the dietitians, and finally, what the director of licensing finally recognized was, oh, nutrition is not in the domain of any one specific educational background. And finally, I just said, if you want to be licensed as dietitians, go ahead, but you can't have the word nutritionist. And unfortunately, the word nutritionist has been co-opted in so many states. And as Coco was saying, the laws are very strict. So it's something that people really need to be aware of and to be thinking about.
Well, it's very important when you're planning your future and your marketing, because lest you say that you are a nutritionist in a state where you're not licensed, you're quite vulnerable. In Michigan, where I am a registered dietitian, and I have been working since 2006 to change, first of all, the law, which I did get changed to a certain extent back in 2006, because our original law had it that only registered dietitians could ever get licensed, and that anybody else, even if they had a PhD, it would be illegal for them to practice, and it would be illegal for them to call themselves either a dietitian or nutritionist. So I'll go into more detail about what happened after the testimony and what the efforts are now. But we had a law that passed in 2006, and it has not been enacted yet. And I want to be able to explain to everyone what we've done to prevent that from happening so far. But it is a daily battle. And, you know, our ultimate goal, and I have no idea if we're going to accomplish this or not, but I'm putting the goal out there, our ultimate goal, and those that I'm working with on this project, call it, is to either amend the current law so significantly that it would become totally safe for other nutritionists to practice or to repeal it. And so the amendment would have to really depart from what the current language has in it now. But that's the only way, because otherwise if our law passes, it's that same problem. And I'm really hoping that Michigan can be the first state to turn this around, and then other states could follow suit based on what we've learned here. And I think the advantages I've had in being effective so far, doesn't mean I'm going to be fully effective, but is that I'm both a registered dietitian and a certified clinical nutritionist, so that when I went to testify, I was looked at as both credible,
right,
and as a quack. And I think that double identity kind of threw the legislature.
Okay.
And it actually made me more believable.
Yeah, wonderful. So now, is that something that typically could happen if the law gets changed in one state that other states tend to follow suit? Or we've got to really work hard at it as well, each state?
Well, that's our goal, because if we can actually show that the law diminishes competition, exceeds requirements to protect the citizen,
right,
and is bad for business, and Michigan is ranked really low, if not at the bottom, for our economy, so legislators here are going to be particularly sensitive to any kind of laws that are unduly restricting business and also making our state less appealing to others who might want to come here and practice. So not only would there be a drain of professionals out if they wanted to continue practicing, but there would be, you know, a shortage of people coming.
Yeah.
And so we've and I'll be sharing this at the presentation, we've developed a white paper, extensively researched, that should be a good document for other states to, you know, look at their laws and look at their situation and reap some of the benefit of a lot of our work to help them in their planning for this too, because this problem is not going to go away.
That's great. So this white paper is going to give us some tools that we can use to influence changes in our states. That's what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. In every state, the law is going to be different. You know, it's amazing that when you read them, they're not all the same. You know, they all kind of accomplish the same thing, which is interesting, but they're not all written exactly the same. So, yeah, there's a lot, you know, I can share about this whole process that I've just been learning as I go along. But I care very deeply about people being served by a variety of nutrition professionals and not having one organization monopolize or dominate the whole field. And as Liz was saying, you know, there's a big umbrella that can host all of us.
Yep.
And there's a shortage of dietitians anyway in the public arena, and there's a shortage of dietitians in the, you know, entrepreneurial arena, because 92% of dietitians are employed or consult to institutions. So it's not as though there's even a real competition out there, you know, because most nutritionists, I think, that are not dietitians are more entrepreneurial. They're looking to be in private practice. They're looking to be in clinics or some sort of consulting position. Wouldn't you say, Liz, that most nutritionists that are not dietitians are in some sort of business?
Yes. And when I was at the American Dietetic Association conference a couple years ago, most people were working in long-term care and nursing homes or inpatient facilities or hospitals or with schools or in community health departments. So but then you've got RDs like you and a small handful, the HEN RDs, they're the hunger, environment, and nutrition RDs, or the entrepreneurial RDs. There's some groups in the practice groups in the American Dietetic Association where you've got greater numbers of entrepreneurs, but almost all dietitians are working in institutions.
Yeah. And the one thing, I think everybody should know this. I think that the one thing that has not been proven with any kind of formally that I have seen, okay, any formally documented proof of harm without licensure.
I know.
So, you know, these laws are supposed to be for protecting the public because supposedly they should show that there is harm, there is danger without licensure. And for 30 years, Michigan, for example, has been just trying so hard to find this proof of harm, and they haven't found it. They do have some little tattletale reports, I call them, dietitians writing up what they heard from somebody about what happened, but there's nothing that's been submitted legally. There's no documentation, no proof of harm. And so, and that's what a licensure law really should be about. But what really it's about is third-party reimbursement. That's the real reason that dietitians got started in creating these laws state by state, because back in the 70s and the 80s, the threat of other nutritionists such as NANP or the CCN or the CNS, they weren't there. Because Trudy, when did NANP get established?
1985.
Okay, so it was beginning in the 80s and then even more in the 90s that other professional organizations got started. And so then that really is threatening, has been very threatening to the dietitians, because the image of the dietitian is the institutional person. And back in the day, we wore hairnets and white uniforms. So I wish I had a photo of myself like that. But
I'd love to see you in a hairnet.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, so, but we did it. And so the image, you know, and then the nutritionist came in, and the nutritionist didn't have that image. And the public has always been more attracted to the title or the term or what they believe a nutritionist is, and have perceived the dietitian to be in the institution. And today, that image is still alive. And the Dietetic Association is really striving to kind of break free of that image. But they're also... we're also creating that image by their heavy affiliation with the food and beverage industry, you know, such as Coca-Cola and Pepsi and Mars and Hershey and all those other companies that are, you know, still pegging the image of the dietitian, you know, in that in institutional and industrial square. So,
you know, I think it also does it that it. That these laws and do a disservice to the dietitians, because there's so many young dietitians who went into the field because they're really interested in holistic nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to school and they do their internship, and there's no room for that in a lot of their studies. And I was talking to a young dietitian just the other day, and she said, you know, I think we all feel duped, because we went into the field for one thing and we ended up getting another. And that's why the schools, the vocational schools, are having so much success, and why we're starting to see other schools like Bastyr and University of Bridgeport and Thai Sophia starting to come up with, and Hawthorne and Bowman and Huntington. There's so many schools that are starting to teach holistic nutrition and functional nutrition, because there's a great need, and it's not yet being met by the regular universities,
right.
Which I think eventually it will be.
Yeah, and
that's exactly the point that I've been making at our board meetings, the Michigan Board of Dietetics and Nutrition, is that the area of nutrition, it's not that all these other nutrition professionals, this is what I'm saying to dietitians, don't want to get educated, wouldn't go for a accredited university and a degree from there. It's just that what they want to learn isn't being taught there. Academia, traditional academia, has not kept up with the current nutrition information. And so private organizations, institutes are doing this. Credentialing bodies are taking the place of universities so that all sorts of healthcare professionals can get to where they want to be in nutrition, right, Liz? I mean, that's the thing. If it were available, people would go, but it's not available. It's hardly available.
Yeah, hardly. And that's one of the places where NAMP starts to fill in, because NAMP welcomes health professionals with all kinds of degrees to come and come to the conferences and join. And so there are pharmacists and naturopaths and chiropractors and MDs and RDs, and we see it's very inclusive, and that's one of the exciting things. And the other thing that I love about NAMP so much is that everybody's a foodie. People start with food. They love food, and that's the basis for the work that everyone does. It begins there and then expands. So it's really fun. It's such a wonderful, passionate, pretty young organization, and it's an exciting one, and it's exciting to see how NAMP is growing as well.
It is. It is. So this is really great, and what you said is so super, Liz, because that's exactly what it is. You know, we're all inclusive. Anyone who uses nutrition in their practice is welcome to join the join the NAMP. We have different levels of membership, and you know, all of our clients and patients need help with food and therapeutically and then just for just optimal health, and anyone using food, you know, is welcome to join the organization. And there's enough for everyone. You know, there's a demand for this, holistic training. There's a demand for, from the consumers for this holistic support. And, it's as you're saying, Coco, if there's no harm or danger, then, we need to be providing these services. So this is really wonderful. So I'd like to wrap up. Is there any last words that either of you would like to say about your presentation or anything else that we've talked about today? Liz, maybe, and then we'll have you go, Coco.
I just want to say that my presentation, although I've prepared some slides, mostly it's going to be a conversation because there's a collective wisdom in the room about marketing and about ethics and about how to build your business and about HIPAA laws and consent forms and all of this, and how to talk to physicians so that they'll listen. And so I'll be presenting, but also it'll be a group dynamic, and I'm hoping it's going to be a really fun presentation.
Sounds great. I'm really looking forward to it. And Coco?
Well, I think my presentation is a little more it won't be as much fun, maybe, because it's a really serious topic. Mm-hmm. But I also am going to really want to impart that if you're in the field of nutrition today, you're a change maker, and you are on the leading edge of creating a healthier society. And with being a change maker, with not fitting into necessarily, one institutional way of doing nutrition, then part of the risk of that is what comes with being a change maker. And so I just want people to feel very encouraged. As encouraging as it can be, I also want people to feel encouraged that they're part of a movement, and it's a shared, where we're sharing it with so many wonderful professionals, and the support is just unanimous. I mean, it's so I just want people to feel very supported in this also very challenging time of being in the nutrition business.
Wonderful. This is all good. And all of this information that both of you are going to share is just so relevant for us nutrition professionals. And I'm so looking forward to seeing you again, Liz, and meeting you, Coco, and hearing more at the conference. So if you haven't registered yet, please do join us. Come and learn the most recent research, scientific data. Come and learn all this legal information that we need. Come and learn about marketing information. Join us at the conference and learn how to enhance your practice and walk away with some great tools and tips right away. You'll get to meet peers and mentors in the field. And if you were there last year, you got to visit all the great vendors and discover what they have to offer us nutrition professionals. If you've already registered, great. We look forward to seeing you there. If you haven't registered, go and do it now. We want to see you there. So here's the information again. It's April the 30th to May the 1st at the Hyatt Regency in Burlingame, Building Bridges, Integrating Nutrition in Today's Healthcare Practices. And as Liz said, we are all about food, so we're going to be serving yummy, delicious, fabulous, organic, locally sourced meals, and this is included in your conference registration. So we got great speakers, as you heard today, great topics, nanp.org. And Liz and Coco, thanks so much for being with me today.
You're very welcome.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Thanks, Trudy.
Thanks. We'll see you soon. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.